You're listening to the Men Overseas Podcast, a show that explores methods and ideas to help you live a bigger life. You will hear interesting stories of how people live, how they save and invest their money, and why having time wealth is better than being a billionaire. If you are entertained, educated, or elevated, be sure to hit the subscribe button. We're just getting started. Now here is your host, Brad D'Antonio.
Hello, friends. Good to be back with you. I'm coming to you a few kilometers from the German-Austrian border. We are deep in the Bavarian Alps, the southern portion of Germany. I saw this Instagram reel the other day where this big black dude comedian tells the story of getting into an elevator with only this little white woman in the corner. And he noticed as soon as he walked in that she clutched her purse. So he says, that's ridiculous that she did that because she's tugging and I'm tugging. And that went on for a few seconds. Well, what do you know? Something similar happened to me on the way to Germany. So we had a layover in London. First thing you should know about London, well, maybe if you're a single man, the first thing you should know about London is that on the scale of 1 to 10, if you're looking for a mate, it only goes up to 6 there. Right, so a 6 there is, they're graded on a curve. So a 10 in England is probably a 6 in Texas. But they're super strict with items that you take through the airport there. So we had a layover in Heathrow. And the last time I had flown into London, I was pulled aside and asked about my income and assets before they would let me through. That had never happened anywhere else. I guess it's to ensure that if I overstay my welcome, that I could support myself. So I lied and told them I was balling out of control, and they let me through. The only other airport that's ever given me that much trouble was Tel Aviv in Israel. So note that, the two worst airports to fly into, in my experience, London and Tel Aviv. Anyway, long story longer, this British TSA lady tells me that I can't keep my atomic bomb. Now, atomic bomb is basically icy hot times 20. It is so strong. In fact, it was recommended by my buddy Tank, the young legend who used it as a defensive lineman in college. He played football. And he said it basically saved his career. And I've been using it for about 6 months, and it is fire hot. I've worn it in the sauna before and had to get out because it's just too much heat. But it helps a lot. So I apply it maybe 3 or 4 times a day. Therefore, needed to have it in my carry-on. Had no problems in Houston. They let me through. No big deal. Did not anticipate what might happen in London. So this TSA lady, unbelievable. She takes it out and she says, I'm going to have to scan it, whatever that means. So she puts, I guess, the bomb stuff over it. And she says, this constitutes a liquid. And I said, that's not liquid. She said, if you melt it, it's liquid. Okay, well, can you give me a pass? I use this a lot and I really need it. And she says, no, I'm sorry, I need to confiscate it. I said, well, can I use it one last time? And she says, yes. If the situation wasn't so tense, I'd have been laughing at this exchange. So here's what happened. I go to grab it from her and then she tugs it back. And then I tug and then she tugs. And then she pulls her finger away like she's been stung by a bee. Pure histrionics in Heathrow. And so she goes to her supervisor. Meanwhile, I'm caking enough balm on my neck to last me a month or two. And her boss supervisor comes to me and says, did you hurt her finger? And I said, no, man, she's lying. And he said, okay, well, we're going to go look at the tape. And if you assaulted her, you're in big trouble. So dude rallies some staff and they go to a back room for the replay. Meanwhile, I'm playing patty cake with my 3-year-old, waiting for them to come to a decision, come out of the replay booth. Unfortunately, I was vindicated, but she got to go back home. And to me, that's just crazy. I mean, that the victim mentality doesn't just exist in America. She had made the whole thing up, that I had hurt her finger, that I had assaulted her. We're all forced to deal with women on power trips. It's getting more and more common in the West. Look no further than our politics. I mean, does not the Democrat Party basically consist of women with power and men who are afraid to stand up to them? I saw where Naval Ravikant posted on X recently that this next election is masculine men and feminine women versus feminine men and masculine women. Sounds right to me. I had a buddy's wife who told me one time that we shouldn't ever have a barrier or border on the southern portion of the United States between us and Mexico. And she said it was because she didn't like what that symbolized. Can you imagine any masculine man who thinks it's a good idea to let 15 million people from, well, 15 million men, military age men from the Middle East, China, Venezuela into the United States? When we were on our way to the airport in Houston, we usually take Beltway 8. Well, it was all trafficated and we had to find a detour. So we took this back road and we actually crossed the bridge where the 12-year-old girl was raped and strangled to death by two Venezuelan illegals, or migrants we call them now, I guess. I can't believe we're allowing this to happen. There were all sorts of flowers and balloons, and that's how I remembered that it was Kirkendall was the street where that happened. They lured her under a bridge and, oh, it's just terrible. Strangled her and left her in the bayou, and some lady was driving. It happened like between midnight and 6 a.m., and some lady was driving her husband to work in the morning at 6 a.m., and they saw what they thought was a mannequin with the legs sticking out of the bayou. It's just terrible. They did catch them right away because they had them on surveillance video at a local 7-Eleven or something. I actually read recently where there are black folks in Chicago who are planning to go to Mexico, throw their ID away, and then come back through the border. Their reasoning is that migrants in Chicago are getting taxpayer money to live on that they're not. I think it's pretty smart. So we're in a little town called Berchtesgaden, Germany. If you've heard of it, it's because Eagle's Nest is located here, which was considered Hitler's crown jewel. It was a cabin on the top of a mountain. His architect wanted to find him the most beautiful locale in the world, or in Germany, if not the world. I'm convinced he probably found it. I mean, it is so breathtakingly gorgeous up there. And I'm a big World War II fanatic. I love the history of it all. And I've been there a couple times before, but I always wanted to take my family. So we booked a month here, and there's quite a bit to do, although the town's only a population of maybe 8,000. If you've ever seen the HBO series called Band of Brothers, it came out about 15, 20 years ago. It is excellent. It's 10 episodes, about an hour long each. And in episode 10, the 101st Airborne wants to capture the objective of Eagle's Nest before any of the other allies do. And when they get there, they were first, and they find 10,000 of the finest wine and liquor bottles in the world, and they throw a huge party. Band of Brothers. If you haven't seen it, put it on your list. Probably the best series I've ever seen. I brought the old podcasting equipment, hoping that I'd feel up to recording. I had been on an 8-month hiatus, and although I'm not 100%, we'll see how this goes. I've got a little something for everybody I plan to talk about. I want to first take the opportunity to thank you, not just for tuning in all these years, but I know how many of you have been praying for me, and that means more to me than you know. I have long said that you should do things for people without any expectation of reciprocity, but when it happens, it lights you up. And that's how I've felt, just knowing that you care. I started the podcast to help others, to provide some sort of value to listeners. And if I could do that, even if in some small way, then I would be satisfied. But in return, I got prayers when I needed them most. So thank you. I have been through a hell on earth that I wouldn't wish on anybody. It's the sort of hell I can't even bring myself to think about without getting chills all over my body. So I've only allowed myself to go there once. But after experiencing those full body chills, I doubt I'll ever think about it again. It was that bad. I can talk about it. I just can't bring myself to reflect on it in a way that puts me back in that spot, if that makes sense. I don't know if you do this, but when you're reflecting on something deeply, like on a circumstance in your life, and you can bring yourself back to the sights and sounds and maybe the dialogue and feelings that you had. Smell is really good about helping you remember things. Evidently, it's our strongest sense. So when I was 8 years old, I remember my grandfather used to come to my baseball games, and I'd be playing center field. Actually, I was 9. And he would smoke a pipe, and I could smell that he was at the game. And it gave me the warm and cozies because I can now think about that when I smell that pipe, which is rare because not so many people smoke anymore. But when I do smell that pipe, I am instantly transported back to being 9 years old, smelling the glove, the leather of my baseball glove, and the grass beneath my feet. And it's wonderful. So anyway, can't do this with what I've been through this past year. And I promise in time I'll share the entire story. I'm even planning to write a book about what I went through because I think it'll help people. Without sounding too dramatic, I'm lucky to be here. Lucky to be alive, probably. A brush with death will bring you to your knees. If there's ever been an atheist in a foxhole, I'd like to meet him. Just to see if he comes out more humble and grateful. See if he values relationships more, because I certainly do. Maybe you've experienced a near-death experience. When you come out of it, you feel a renewed thankfulness just to be here, just to have consciousness and be able to spend time with those you love. And that's part of the reason that we're here. I wanted to focus on my family and experience things with them and make memories with them. And it's a pretty special trip for us. We hadn't been able to travel for a while due to my health trials and tribulations. I have a lot to be grateful for. Firstly, my wife, Miriam, my 3-year-old daughter. Without them, I don't know that I would have had the will to fight like hell. And that is what I needed. I also needed my friends and family in a bad way. I remember calling my brother, crying like an ugly drunken British girl on the streets of Prague. So they have a lot of stag do's, what they call stag do's. They're bachelor parties and bachelorette parties in Prague. And you can hear a British gal from 3 blocks away. And then oftentimes when you walk up on the scene, there's somebody peeing on the sidewalk or just passed out. You see it all the time. So Brits have a bad reputation in Central Europe because they just go there to party hard, and they accomplish that. I also am grateful for my buddies, Byron, Billy, Chase, Matt, E, new friends, Akiva, Colin, Elena, Jorge, Roberto, Bretto, the young folks I mentor who would check on me. I mean, I appreciate all of you guys. My Thibodeau friends hold a special place. All of you who came out to Rox's bar the night Matt closed it down, or I should say opened it up for us. He owns the bar now that we used to party at in college. So I got to see old friends, some that I've known since I was 5 years old. Ashley, Lauren, Franny, Casey, Rutley, Booge, Shane, Gabby, Mikey, bro. I know I'm going to forget people. That's what happens when you try to name everybody, so I apologize. But that was so needed. It meant so much to me to spend time with those folks. Michael, who gave me a night away, I needed that more than I knew. Thank you, Dirty. G. Cassard, grateful for you, man. My neighbor, Steve, who suggested I write a book, which I've started working on. We'll see how that goes. I needed all that. God, did I need. I needed all of that. So thank you. And speaking of God, I once wrote on the blog that all religions, as far as I know, are rooted in an understanding that life is suffering, and that even wise skeptics have a humble respect for religion. And the reason is that it's been seemingly indispensable to humans throughout nearly every era. And for this reason, Jordan Peterson's message regarding God has always resonated with me. He's an academic, and I remember him being asked one time, "Do you believe in God?" And he said, "I conduct myself in the world as if God exists." And I thought that was such an astute answer from a really intelligent fella. But he believes that young people are being raised without religion nowadays. And that's a problem. He says they're desperate for guidance that provides examples from which they can extract the power of transcendent suffering. Life is suffering, so how do you transcend the suffering? I was raised in the Catholic Church, where Christianity teaches that we all have a cross to bear, often undeservedly so, the same way Christ didn't deserve his maltreatment and crucifixion. I have always been extremely grateful for being given that example as a kid. Never more so than when I was going through the worst of it late last year and early this year. the blog article I'm referring to, I included a quote from Jordan Peterson. He said, "It's not an accident that the axiomatic Western individual is someone who was unfairly nailed to a cross and tortured." So Christians were given that example for a reason. Would you rather the pain and suffering that you might be going through now, or better to be tortured and have stakes driving through your hands and feet? Meanwhile, you're dying in front of those you care about. And what do you know? In April this year, my wife bought tickets for us to see Jordan Peterson when he came to Texas. He was incredible. I even put a suit on out of respect for the man. It had been so long since I wore a suit, I had to beat the cobwebs off. Luckily, it fit, probably because I've lost about 20 pounds through all this. And then good thing I had a wife beater tee underneath my white shirt, because I had to beat the wife off of me on the way home. Where you at? Remember, gents, a well-tailored suit is to a woman what lingerie is to a man. It is hard to use the French pronunciation of words after watching that opening ceremony at the Olympics in Paris. What a joke. So yeah, Target will always be called Target from here on out. I don't care if they have French toast in the frozen section or not. Also, lingerie is what Wanda called it on In Living Color. For you younger listeners, do yourself a solid, get on the YouTubes, and just search for 90s comedy. Because that was perhaps the funniest collection of humans ever. Jamie Foxx, Jim Carrey, the Wayans brothers. Hell, you can even see J-Lo dancing back when Eminem was trying to figure out which Jennifer Lopez he wanted to impregnate. Her ass was always more popular than she was, though. And if it's true, by the way, that you can judge a person by their mate choice, then she is no bueno. No bueno. Because who's a bigger D-bag than Ben Affleck? I guess Kevin Federline was probably taken. But didn't she marry Ben Affleck a second time? I don't know. On the topic of funniest humans ever assembled, In Living Color was on at the same time that SNL was at its apex. That crew there, it might be even funnier than the one I just mentioned. Consider Saturday Night Live in the 90s. They had Adam Sandler, Chris Farley, David Spade, Chris Rock, Rob Schneider, Mike Myers, Norm MacDonald. The cast was unbelievable. But I got sidetracked. Having the example of Jesus on the cross has pulled me through some of the hardest times of my life. And I will not let my suffering go to waste, nor should you. I will use my suffering as fuel. Fuel to benefit and serve others in the best way I can. And the other thing about enduring something hard, it breeds a certain confidence. It's a confidence that's like, there's probably nothing I can't do. I wasn't able to read for several months through this ordeal. I would tell the wife I felt about 65% as smart as I used to be. I didn't recognize myself in the work that I once did. It was nuts. But once I was able to read again, I wanted something easy. And I heard that Mike Tyson's biography was real good. It's called The Undisputed Truth. I've since gifted it. After reading it, I've gifted it to several friends. It is so good. I remember in the book, Tyson talks about how Cus D'Amato, who trained him from the age of 14 to be an absolute savage, he writes how Cus was big on affirmations. He had a book called Self-Mastery Through Conscious Auto-Suggestion, written by a French pharmacist psychologist. His name was Emile Couillet. So this author, Couillet, would tell his patients to repeat to themselves, "Every day, in every way, I am getting better and better." And he'd have them say it over and over. So Cus had Mike Tyson modify the affirmation to fit his life circumstances. And so Tyson would say, "I'm the best fighter in the world. Nobody can beat me. The best fighter in the world. Nobody can beat me." Over and over, all day long. And Tyson said the goal of the technique was to breed confidence in the fighter, adding that confidence is everything. There's a book called The Power of Positive Thinking by Norman Vincent Peale. And in the book, he repeats over and over, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I used to have that quote framed on the wall of my study, and I have recited it many, many times. I used to have apprehension about verbalizing it where people could hear me. After you've been through some shit, you do not care what anybody thinks of you. Not that I've ever really cared, but it's more now. Having little mantras and quotes to use in a time of need, that's huge. It can be hugely beneficial. Here's something I haven't shared. When I was a kid, every night before falling asleep, I would say an Our Father, a Hail Mary, and an act of contrition. And until I was probably 12, it was rote memorization. I wasn't thinking about what I was saying. But as I got older, somewhere around almost a teenager, I'd force myself to think about what I was saying. And part of the prayer became internalized to the point of utility in different circumstances I would be facing. So as an example, at the end of the act of contrition prayer, it says, I firmly resolve with the help of thy grace to sin no more and to avoid the near occasion of sin. Amen. So long before I started internalizing my favorite quotes, I was doing it with prayer. And it also has a meditative effect in that you have to control your mind when it starts to wander and pull it back to prayer. But I had never articulated, or I should say, I had never verbalized what I was doing. I didn't share much of anything until my mid-30s when I started a blog. I kind of kept all my cards to myself, but I had many of my buddies tell me that you should share what you know. It could help people. And so that's why I started doing all this, and I think we've accomplished it. So a quote that isn't biblical that I've long used to benefit my life is the one from Catherine Mansfield. Steal it if you love it. It says, make a rule of life never to regret and never to look back. Regret is an appalling waste of energy. You can't build on it. It's only good for wallowing in. Something I do while traveling, I like to stop in the local Catholic church and hit my knees. And I did this for the first time with my daughter the other day in Berchtesgaden. It's pretty special. Whenever we pray for dinner and I don't make the sign of the cross, she will say, Dada, you didn't do this. And she'll make the sign of the cross. I love that. Subtle way to get her doing some of that stuff. Let me talk about something that happened here in Germany the first few days we were here. There was this street performer playing a song from the Dirty Dancing soundtrack. Dirty Dancing, if you haven't seen the movie, came out in the 80s. Because my wife is younger than me, I was able to watch it with her the other day. She had never seen it, and it was great. I had forgotten how good the soundtrack to that movie is. R.I.P. Patrick Swayze. There's this song called She's Like the Wind. And if you know the song, there's a part where she says, or actually, maybe Patrick Swayze sings the song, and he says, she's out of my league, just a fool to believe I am anything she needs, or I am everything she needs. I'm not a singer, but it's a beautiful song. Anyway, my daughter heard it as we were walking through the streets of Germany, and she wanted to go out in the middle of the sidewalk and start dancing. And as she goes out there and starts twirling in her dress, this little German boy, he probably looked to be about 2 years old, he ran smack into her. And my three-year-old told me later that she was worried that she had hurt him. And I was videoing the whole time, and you can kind of see her concern. She's got her hand over her mouth. So the boy's mom, as he starts to walk off, grabs the boy by the hand and takes him over to my daughter. And the mom was speaking German, so no chance my daughter understood what she was saying. But I videoed it, and I started yelling, Aria, go dance with the boy, dance with the boy. So my daughter faces him and starts doing turns, and she likes to see her dress flow in the wind. And so the boy picks up his right leg and turns his right foot inward and starts slapping his knee and his foot. It was straight out of National Lampoon's European Vacation. You remember the scene where Clark Griswold goes up on stage to dance with the Germans while Rusty is making out with some German babe who takes her boobs out? Guten Tag. And Clark is trying to keep up, and he's slapping his knee and his foot, and he's acting a donkey, but he doesn't care. That's how you're supposed to dance, right? Like nobody's watching. Clark, of course, is played by Chevy Chase, who, for you younger listeners, used to be on SNL and actually used to be funny, like really funny. He was probably the Will Ferrell of that cast. He's not funny anymore. I can't really explain that. But one of the things I said on the video, you can hear me saying, this is the best thing I've ever seen when I was watching these two little ones dance. And one of the conclusions I came to is when you pay attention in life, when you document your journey, take notes, become a student of your own life, which is the best thing to study by far. It's why I keep a journal and why I encourage you to do so. But because I had seen National Lampoon's European Vacation, because I had seen Dirty Dancing, and because we were in Germany, and my daughter loves to dance, which I like to think that I helped to encourage her love of dance, that was the most enriching experience. It was so, it gave me the hairs on the back of the neck standing up. And it's because of what I paid attention to that helped me to appreciate that moment so much. So when I was 7 years old, I auditioned to be in one of Chevy Chase's movies. And I got hired. I was an extra. I was told to dance around a pot on an old plantation in South Louisiana. The work was not fun at all. They outfitted me in dirty rags for clothes, and we must have done 100 to 200 takes. And when the movie came out, I was so excited to see, you know, it took probably a year for the movie to come out, which is an eternity when you're seven. Well, the movie comes out, you couldn't see me. What a disappointment. All that for naught. However, I got my first paycheck, $40 before taxes. Thought I was a movie star. Wondering who's gonna be the agent that negotiates my next $40 contract. Not really. And that day of filming was so long and boring, I never wanted anything to do with the movies again. That's all I got for you today. Thank y'all for listening. I'll be back soon, I promise. Thank y'all for all your support of Man Overseas through the years. I never, never take it lightly that you've chosen to spend your time here. Hope y'all have a great day. Remember, there's nothing more important than relationships in life. Make it a priority. If you don't, you're doing life wrong, in my opinion. You never know when you're going to need those people, the people you love, and who love you back. Invest in those relationships. Make memories. Till next time, folks. Thank you.